Pablo Escobar in 1993, he was shot and killed when he was trying to make his getaway from his readout there in Medellin. And so came to an end, one of the great drug dealers of all time, and the cartel that he led in Medellin. So much damage had been wrought on the free world as a consequence of his trafficking and his whole cocaine operation primarily. And yet, you know, it's very interesting how this guy was brought down. And to that end, we wanted to tell the story from an insider, and none better than Robert Mazur, who successfully infiltrated Pablo Escobar's cartel, authored the book The Infiltrator, which was turned into a major motion picture. Mr. Mazur is a former U.S. federal agent for 27 years. And The Infiltrator, his memoir about his undercover two-year infiltration of this cartel, basis for the movie starring Bryan Cranston. We are joined now on the line by Robert Mazur.
Thanks for the invitation.
Well, I appreciate you joining us. I mean, you served for 27 years as a federal agent in the U.S. You weren't with the FBI specifically, though. Tell us the agency and why it became that significant insofar as infiltrating this operation.
Sure. At the time, I was with what was called then the U.S. Customs Office of Enforcement, which is now Homeland Security Investigations. And I went on from there to the Drug Enforcement Administration. Both of those agencies do undercover money laundering type operations. And way back in the day, I volunteered for to be trained as a long-term undercover agent, and specifically to assume the role of a money launderer, primarily because my background is a little bit different than most of my former colleagues who are criminal justice majors. I was a business administration finance major. I had one course of getting my accounting degree, and in addition to that, I worked in a bank and a brokerage firm. So, pretty natural for me to learn how to assume the role of being a corrupt businessman.
Okay. All right. Well, tell us how that works then, if you can. Give me a synopsis of how you could have become a legitimate or at least a credible money launderer to the point where you can infiltrate a cartel. I would think that, you know, they'd have the rabbit ears up and trying to, you know, deter this kind of thing. Tell us how that happened.
Sure. Well, I was blessed with leadership that had enough foresight to realize that you can't do that overnight. So over a period of about a year and a half, I put together what I think is one of the more sophisticated money laundering undercover operations. And what was unique about it is that I had some very special informants who were working with me, two of whom were formerly associates of an Italian-American organized crime family in New York. And beyond that, I was embedded in real businesses, a finance company, a mortgage brokerage business, a jewelry chain with 30 locations on the East Coast, an air charter service with a private jet, and I also was embedded in a brokerage firm with a seat on the New York Stock Exchange. So I didn't have to be the very best undercover agent. I get great training from people with tremendous experience. Actually, one of the instructors in my undercover class was Joe Pistone, the famous undercover agent for the FBI, who the book and the movie Donnie Brasco is based on. So. With that, I had the opportunity to very slowly, through my partner, who is a tremendous undercover agent playing the street-level thug, and he introduced some of the money brokers, low-level money brokers in the cartel. And, you know, it's kind of thinking back to the days of high school. If you want to date the captain of the cheerleaders, you can't act like you really want to go out on a date. You got to play hard to get, and that's what I did. Once they got to know what the potential was for doing business with me, I put a lot of restrictions on it, and didn't really want to handle huge amounts of money. And that, plus some other techniques that we used, caused them to start introducing me to people higher and higher in the organization, and eventually. I was dealing face-to-face directly with Pablo Escobar's consigliere, a lawyer by the name of Santiago Uribe, who was pretty much responsible for overseeing a lot of different things, including the quality of my money laundering services.
Robert Mazur is the real deal. Again, he is the infiltrator, successfully infiltrated Pablo Escobar's cartel, where Escobar was shot dead in Medellin back in 1993. Author of the book, The Infiltrator, turned into a major motion picture. And, you know, I'm very, very curious because what you mentioned, the access that you had to everything, private jets, you were embedded in real businesses. So, I mean, this gave you street cred and, I guess, cred with the cartel, to be sure. And you even took some people onto the floor of the New York Stock Exchange because you had a seat there?
Well, the firm did, and one of the people within the firm was a source of mine. So the rest of the firm didn't know who I really was. They thought I was a cousin of the owner. And as long as we're talking about Pablo Escobar, one thing I definitely want to share with your listeners is that my two former colleagues, Steve Murphy and Javier Pena, who were stationed in Medellin, are really the two people most responsible for the Colombian National Police hunting Pablo Escobar down and ultimately killing him in a firefight. But Steve and Javier are tremendous heroes and public servants.
You know, Robert, the key here is what you're talking about, the money and the money laundering operation are the part of it. Because, I mean, the drugs are the, I guess, more salacious, assorted part, you know, that creates so much what we call tragedy in people's lives. And we saw how, you know, it's also destabilizing to economies as well as and all the rest of that, you know, the consequences. But you were on the money side of things. That's really where, I guess, the Achilles heel is in these operations. Can you expound on that a little bit? I mean, because if you follow the money, it's kind of like Al Capone, you know, getting him on a tax rap rather than all the other stuff, the nefarious things that he was involved in. Why was it the crucial linchpin following the money?
Sure. Well, you know, on the drug side, if they lose a shipment of cocaine, it's not that big of a deal for them. Back in the day when I was working with the cartel, it cost $500 to manufacture a kilo of coke and about $2,500 for transportation. So they had a $3,000 investment in a kilo, and they were selling those for $14,000, $15,000 wholesale, tens of thousands at a time. So what really, really is important to them is getting that profit back into their country. And it's a tremendous logistical problem. I mean, I dealt... My two major clients were Pablo Escobar's principal managers at the time, Gerardo Moncada and Fernando Galeano. They met, unfortunately, their demise when Pablo Escobar began to think that they were not faithful. And on a day when he was in his self-made jail, he had them summoned before him. He had them tortured for a day or so, and then ultimately hoisted by their feet, upside down, and their clothes were stripped off and blow torches were used to melt the skin off their body. Then they were chopped up and burned into ash, and nobody's ever found them. And then he went after their siblings, and then he went after everybody who worked for them, which actually turned out to be Pablo Escobar's demise, because the survivors of that became members of Los Pepes, and they were the ones who, the vigilantes, who worked so closely to help find him and hunted him and a lot of his associates down. But when it comes to the logistics of the money, for Moncada and Galeano, we operated in eight cities. Their handle in those eight cities was roughly $20 million a month, so $160 million a month just from that cell within the Medellin cartel. The logistics of moving that are very, very challenging. If you had hundreds, and they don't have hundreds, they got five, tens, and twenties, because that's what people buy drugs with on the street. You know, that's a pretty big duffel bag full of army duffel bag full of cash to get $2 million. Probably take a duffel bag and a half. So start adding up what $160 million would look like each month, and that's pretty overwhelming.
Again, Robert Mazur with us. He infiltrated Pablo Escobar's cartel, authored the book called The Infiltrator, turned into a major motion picture. You were undercover as well with the Cali cartel, and you've written a book called The Betrayal about this. 2.5 years undercover there. I mean, in a similar role insofar as chasing the money here, what was that all about? Tell us about The Betrayal. It's coming out in March, I believe, of the new year.
Yes, it is. After I finished the trials, which took about 2 years in the infiltrator story, I was recruited by DEA to do an undercover operation and to try to infiltrate the Cali cartel as well as certain underworld figures in Panama. So I had not as much time as I'd like, but enough to put together a whole new identity, a whole new group of businesses, and then infiltrated them in the same fashion. But the title, The Betrayal, of that book comes about because as I was successfully infiltrating, little did I know there was someone in the government who had ratted me out to the leaders of the Cali cartel. And so half the book, if not more, is trying to figure out who the mole is within the law enforcement community, and ultimately we figured it out.
Whoa. Well, that's quite the cliffhanger. Let me just, and I won't spoil it here because people can refer to the book. Comes out in March on Amazon. You can get it through Amazon. What's your sense, though, Robert, of the dirty money that's floating around in the world? I mean, drug money is one of these tentacles of the multi-headed hydra. I'm sure there are others. We learned through the Panama Papers and, you know, subsequent to that, there have been other investigations. Is this something that the authorities can ever really get their hands around? Or is it just, you know, that's the way it's going to be? It's kind of the dark, sinister side of things in this world.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the reality is this. The United Nations on Drugs and Crime did a study to identify what all the member nations considered to be the amount of money within their nations that came from illicit activities. You know, that's everything from drug trafficking to arms dealing to busting sanctions, tax evasion, you name it. And it came to about $2 trillion. And of that $2 trillion, about $400 billion comes from the sale every year from illegal drugs. And when you look at the forfeitures in law enforcement, you can calculate that there is no more than 2% of that $400 billion every year that is truly identified and seized. And I'm not talking about huge fines to banks that make shareholders have to pay for historical money laundering. I mean real bad guy assets. So that means that the coffers of these criminal organizations have grown immensely over the many decades that they've been operating. And if you take a close look at it, the corruption that exists now is higher than it's ever been before. Can you imagine Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, Mexico, Colombia, Venezuela, and then you can go over to the African nations that have been corrupted and many, many more. But the bottom line is that who would have ever thought? I mean, just recently we put away the brother of the president of Honduras for life for his involvement in drug trafficking and enabling Guatemala to be used as a transshipment point for the cartels. And the testimony in those cases disclosed an unbelievable number of senators and also accusations that the president of the country had received millions of dollars from the cartels as well. So, you know, that unfortunately tells me that there is no magic silver bullet that we're going to be able to do on the supply side. And if there's anything that we should be doing, in my view, is that we should be focusing on three major things. One, of course, educating people about the evils of drugs and the impacts on their body and providing medical assistance to those who suffer from the disease of drug addiction. But more importantly, and especially in my country, we have pockets of society that are massively underserved and create a situation where generation after generation, very little opportunity is being provided to individuals who then later become involved in this type of activity. We need, absolutely need, to put money up to be able to provide, whether it's college education or trade education, you know, all the way up to at least what would be the second year of college, If we don't get a handle on trying to help people who are in underserved communities, this problem is never, ever going to go away. And I'll tell you, it's so profitable, it's hard to imagine that it would. Legalization, I don't believe, is an answer. I can't see legalizing people who want to go out and get methamphetamine or fentanyl without prescriptions. They're not going to get methamphetamine with a prescription, but they certainly could get fentanyl. And to have those types of drugs out there in mass quantities available to people who want to make the wrong decisions, I just don't think that that'll work.
Yeah, and as we've learned recently, you've seen with the big lawsuits against Purdue, Big Pharma's also perhaps playing that game where, you know, it may not be the dirty money, but it's subversive and corrosive to you know, the well-being of society. As and, you know, it's interesting, the picture of these Central American dictators and despots. I mean, it's giving, I guess, legitimacy to the caricatures or stereotypes. And now you operate a consultancy to the private sector on anti-money laundering issues. So your points are all very, very well taken to heart. I appreciate you giving us an insight into what went down as Pablo Escobar's whole cartel and empire was unraveling, shot dead in 1993, Robert Mazur successfully infiltrated his cartel. He's authored the book again, The Infiltrator, and coming out in March, the new book, The Betrayal, his 2.5 years undercover infiltrating the Cali cartel. Appreciate your time very, very much. It was most enjoyable. Thanks for it, Robert.
That's my pleasure. Thank you.